Yeah, we want to say hello. Hi, everybody. People like that they hear laughter in the background. That's good. We'd like you to share. I don't like to ask people to do stuff, but we need you to share these videos so we can get through those rhythms and keep things going. And if you share, it really helps keep us going. And so thankful we have not been taken off of YouTube yet. So we're going to just try to keep away from certain subjects that we know are not part of the agenda that are going to ban us. So we just pray for wisdom every week. But open your Bibles to the book of Jude. And Jude is right there, right before Revelation. It's the final New Testament book before the unfolding of the book of Revelation. Wow, there's so many people that are afraid to read the book of Revelation, but the Bible says you'll be blessed if you read it. So we keep reading it. But we want to look at Jude tonight, and we want to talk about contending for the faith. Boy, the book of Jude is a powerful, it's a short book, but boy, it's a powerful book. And before we get started, I want to thank everybody that's helping us. We could not do this, YouTube and this ministry, without the online people helping us. And every week, we're just so thankful. Thank you, Lord. So thank you. You know who you are. Thank you so much. Now, in the book of Jude, let's look at verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for what? For the faith. We're going to talk about that tonight. Earnestly contending for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Underline that word remembrance, because we're going to go back to this. How do we live in a day of apostasy? How do we live amongst all the confusion, the battle, all the things, the lies, deception? How do we live? How do we function in a day that many of us are vexed? We talked about vexed for the last 2 weeks, vexed at the news, vexed at things that are going on in the world. Because if you're a righteous soul like Lot, he was vexed by what he saw and what he heard. So if you're a righteous soul, if you're living for God, if you're trying to do the best you can, there's going to be things that you see, you hear, you're watching in your family, things that are happening in our world that will also vex you, that will torment you, that will trouble you. And it seems that so much has happened in the last year and a half. Wow. It's like some of the worst things have happened in just a short amount of time. And a lot of people weren't expecting anything bad to happen, so they think everything's going back to normal. But you haven't listened to Agenda 21, and I don't want to get into any of that. But if you know what's coming as far as agendas, then you understand you won't be deceived by them. And you also don't have to be afraid of them, because a lot of people are going to be caught unaware because they don't want to know what's going on. And a lot of Christians are in the same boat. They have been trained to just, and I believe in being positive. I don't like negative people either, but it's not negative. Truth is truth. And so now they don't want to preach in a hell because that's negative. And they don't want to preach that, you know, all these different things that we're hearing going forth. Well, truth is truth, rather we think it's negative or positive. It's what God says that counts. So we have to contend for what God says. And he says in 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to turn there in a minute, there's not coming a great revival. Well, there is a great revival of paganism. There is a great revival of darkness, of the one world religion, which I've been talking about for 6 years. We're starting to see this creep up now. And that shouldn't shake us either, because there's some things we have to, today I want to bring kind of some encouragement to you to rest in some of the things God told us, and how do you live amongst this stuff, because we have to walk the path, even though others don't. Yeah. We have to walk the narrow path, even though other people don't. So how do we do that? How do we contend for the faith in the middle of apostasy? Which, what is apostasy? It's a great falling away. Falling away from what? The Bible. Falling away from the truth that we know it. And now another Jesus is coming in another gospel. He told us that. He told us that they're going to preach another Jesus and another gospel. So some of the things that we're going to deal with tonight is how we walk. We remember what he said. When you remember that he told you this was going to happen, you put it in your mind, in your memory, when you see it, you're not surprised. You might be grieved. You might be vexed. But because you walk with the Lord, you're not deceived. But you remember what he said. So you contend for the faith. And Jesus said, will there be any faith left when he comes? Well, you can see the way the church is going right now. Will there be any faith in him? There's a lot of faith in the Christ consciousness and a lot of faith in the force of faith. We've talked about in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about this. So we're not going to get into all that. But tonight, I just want to encourage you to contend for the faith so that you can walk in the midst of an ungodly generation and you can be a light to the people around you. Contend for the faith. Because he says, Jude warns that there's going to be false people mixing in. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Don't be surprised when you start seeing, like I shared, was it last week? Singers and preachers saying that they're leaving the faith. Don't be surprised. Remember, he told us this stuff was going to happen. And they want to bring Christianity down. But they don't have to bring it down in you if you know how to contend for the faith. Everybody's got their own walk, and everybody's going to have to learn how to contend for the faith for themselves. There's some things you can do for others, but we have to renew our faith in the Lord every day. So he tells us there's going to be a false mixture. There's going to be people crept in. They're going to pretend to be believers. But verse 3, contend for the faith. What does that word contend mean? I like to look up words. I like to see what they mean. To contend carries the idea of an intense struggle. An intense struggle. So just to believe in these end times, there's going to be an opposition. There's going to be things flying. It says here, carries the idea of an intense struggle like in a wrestling match. Well, what does Ephesians tell us? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a wrestling. It's not against humans, even though humans can give over to these spirits. We're not fighting flesh and blood, but these principalities and powers. There's a wrestling. The warfare is increasing. And it has to, because the book of Revelations is, we're on our way here. Now, the timeline, that's the other thing I want to say. We don't know the timeline. If even some of these agendas that they want to push, we're hearing a lot more about Agenda 2030 and all this different things. We can't tell the time. And that's why I say, and you know these things, but enjoy your time. Enjoy your days. Fill yourself up with joy. Fill yourself up, because there's no reason torturing yourself, because we know some of these things are going to happen. And that's one of the points we're going to talk about, contending for the faith. You got to rest. You got to rest, because there's some things there's nothing we can do about anyway. God is allowing this to happen. God is allowing this Antichrist system to start. We're starting to see the setting up of it. Are we there yet? I don't think, you know, I think we're definitely seeing the infrastructure. That word is so fun to say. But we're seeing some setups of things that have never happened before. We're in a new place. So even the more so, we have to learn that we're wrestling not against people. They're going to know you by your what? No. Your love. So we're going to have to keep loving people even when they disagree with us. And this is going to be a battle for people in your family, for people in your neighborhood. This is what they want. They want divide and conquer. They want division. We've talked about this before. So we don't play. We have to know how to wrestle spiritually, hanging on to what God wants us to hang on to. So to contend is a battle against danger. It's a battle against lies. They're going to tell you who the new Jesus is. You're going to have to fight that off. Because they're going to tell you about a Jesus that everybody, he's just a master, he's an avatar, he's a all these different things. It's a new Jesus they want to push. It's a Jesus that didn't die on the cross, that didn't raise from the dead. They want to say that was a bloody mistake, and that's just, you know, religion. You're a Pharisee if you believe that. So you got to stand. You got to know how to stand when these things come to you. Do you know your Bible enough when somebody's preaching something different that you'd know the difference? So that's your battle against danger, lies, deception, false teaching. We've come out of some false teaching. Everybody was preaching it, so I thought it was real. We might go through that next week. But you have to know there's hope once you come out of false teaching. If you've been in false teaching and you've been under false teachers, you got to learn, thank God he's brought you out. And that we have to show mercy for the other people that need to come out, right? Somehow people get so arrogant that they think, well, I'm out of this now, and why aren't you? And there's just that spirit of haughtiness. We have to always stay humble. So to contend for the faith means to confront. Sometimes you got to confront lies. You got to confront deception. It means to resist. Contend. Give all you've got for the faith. Trust in the Lord. They're going to try to take away Christianity. We've been preparing you for 6 years. They want to make all religions one. So stand up for truth. Don't water down the truth. Don't omit parts. Don't play hopscotch. A lot of people like to preach hopscotch. I'll take this, I'll step on this, but I'm omitting that. I'm omitting that. I'm omitting this. No, you got to take the whole, we have to take the whole counsel of God. And we need to preach the whole counsel of God. Even the parts that don't feel so great, you still have to do it because warning is loving. So we don't want to omit parts. Don't cave to the culture. As ungodly people have wormed their way into our churches, Christian TV, bookstores, social media, they've wormed their way in just like Jude said they were going to. So our first step is remember. When you want to contend for the faith, remember what God told us, that this was going to happen. And it's not new. It's been happening. Even throughout the Bible, this was happening. But it helps us if we remember these things. Then they're going to say, and this happened probably, I think, 15 years ago in this grace message, grace, grace, grace message, where God loves everything and there is no sin and all this. Well, they say God's grace allows us to live with no sense of right and wrong. They want you to say God's grace will let you live any way you want with no hindrances. Greasy grace. Who's supposed to contend for the faith? Every one of us has to. You can't just say, well, my husband has to, or my wife has to, or my preacher has to. No, you have to contend for the faith. You have to fight. You have to battle. You have to know what the word says so that when someone's preaching something different, you'll know and you can stand and you can wrestle against that lie. Say, no, that's not what my Bible says. People I run into now don't know what the Bible says, and they don't really care. They just want to be entertained. He also told us that this was going to happen, that there's coming a time that they're going to love their self. They're going to love the things of this world. We're seeing that happen. So we all have to contend for the faith. No additions, no subtractions, or no alterations are needed. The new gospel, they're getting dream downloads. They're getting words. All this stuff is happening, and you don't have to be moved by it. You have to contend for the gospel because no alteration is needed. And I was taken up by a guy that kept saying he saw Jesus. And when I got saved, I thought, wow, he saw Jesus. And he would say, you don't need to pray anymore. Just send your angels out. Now that I look back and I go, wow, that was Gnosticism. But I didn't even know how to say that word. But after I've done my own studying, Gnosticism has been big in the Word of Faith movement. Gnostics. The Gnostics believe in angels changing and altering the Bible, adding to it. So we have to contend, battle, to please the Lord and not please men. And here's an example. There was a young preacher. He began his ministry in a brand new church. You know, when you're young and you're vulnerable and you're just stepping out, you just you know, you're at a new church and you want everyone to like you. His first sermon was the dangers of drinking alcohol. Well, after the service, a deacon, you always have one that seems like they're possessed. A deacon said, "A third of our people raise barley and distill alcohol, so I'd be very careful if I were you." Wow, he felt so bad because he really thought that was a message he was supposed to preach, and he got rebuked by an elder. So the next Sunday, he preached on the dangers of smoking. That same deacon said, "A third of our members grow tobacco, so you better stop preaching on that." The third Sunday, wow, he's getting a little nervous now. He's just got that deacon spotted, you know. He knows no matter what he preaches, he's not going to like it. The third Sunday, he preached on the dangers of gambling. That same deacon approached him after his message, and he said, "A third of our people raise thoroughbred horses. You need to be more sensitive to who you're preaching to." Well, the fourth sermon was on the dangers of deep sea diving in international waters. He got the message loud and clear. He wasn't supposed to talk about any of this stuff. The fifth Sunday, and I added this, he quit. I thought, it's not a story unless he quits. That's the thing. People always want to tell you what to do. And here the guy is brand new. Rather than getting encouraged, saying maybe you could, you know, it could help you. He got hammered and hammered and hammered. You can't please people. And I remember when I just started off preaching, and I got these black and white polka dotted shoes. I mean, they sound kind of wild now, but it matched my outfit, you know. And then I had, you know, I've always had fingernails and colored them and stuff. And this lady came up and she goes, that's of the devil. And she talked about it. She goes, all you're going to be left with, look at those fingernail polish. And she went on and on. And I didn't want to, you know, make God upset or anything. And I'm young. I was just beginning. And I was starting off. She goes, all you're going to be left with is a tongue and a shake. And she walks off. And I looked at her and I thought, we sure don't want to look like her. But that was discouraging. It's just, you have no idea what it's like to get popped and attacked and stuff like that. A tongue and a shake. Yeah, like you're Pentecostal, but the Holy Spirit left you. And you have to contend. You have to contend to please God and not man, because man always wants to tell you what to do. And Jude, if you read through the whole book of Jude here, it's not that long, but he's giving examples of apostasy. And remember, people go, what does that mean? It's a Greek word. It means abandonment and rebellion. It's departing from the truth and scriptures, or to stand away from scriptures. Well, that's just too bold. I wouldn't say that. Remember, I told you it's going to be a hate crime eventually. There are certain scriptures that will be banned, that already are being banned. And that's sad, because there's so many people that need help. And we want to not condemn people, but help people. Give them hope that even though you're in this or that, God can help you get out. Because we've all sinned. And we've all fallen from the glory of God, right? So apostasy, say that five times. Apostasy has to do with the spiritual temperature within God's church. What kind of churches are we having now? The mixture, the entertainment, are they really worshiping God, or are they, the young people don't know. They some of the old worship leaders are gone. They haven't taught you how to really focus on the Lord and worship Him. Now we're taught it's all about you feeling good. It's all about you. The songs are all about you. We've changed from God to man now in our worship. So that's apostasy. It professes faith. They say they're walking in faith, but now they're saying faith is a force that's directed at God, and you have it, because what that actually means is it's the little God's teaching. And they believe wrong, and then they behave wrong. So what is apostasy involving? False doctrine, ungodly lives, bad fruit. God wants us to grow. Okay, so you're an angry old nag. Well, you get saved, you're supposed to be changing. You're supposed to be changing, and desire the sincere milk of the word that you can grow thereby, right? So we profess to know God's, but by our deeds we deny him. Because people don't know how to walk in the fear of the Lord. If you walk in the fear of the Lord, you're always thinking about him. You're focused on him, and you don't want to say and do things that would grieve him, that would upset him. That's walking in the holy fear of God. It's a good fear. Some apostates leave the church, and others stay. The worst is when they stay. Because then they start teaching the false teaching in the churches. And the young believers, because they've been around, they think, well, these people must know what they're talking about. And they don't realize they've left the scriptures. Now they've went on to dreams and revelations and prophetic ministry. Boy, I used to be connected into all that. I just thought that was so awesome. You're just getting this it's mysticism. I've come out from all that. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2:3, but we'll read 1-3. Sound doctrine is under attack. And because he told us it was going to be under attack, but we have not had it in the United States. We've not had the battles that we're going to start seeing. We have not had any persecution. We thought church was great. There's a church on every corner, and this is this and this. But the true gospel is what's under attack. So what is there going to be? There's going to be a great revival, but it's not a revival that we think. It's a revival of all the other religions becoming as one. We've been talking about this now for 5 years. And if you don't know what that is, look up some of my old teachings, because we've been preparing you for this day, and it is here. Now, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gatherings together unto him. We still need to gather. Some people don't want to gather. The Bible says don't forsake it. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself. We need each other. We need to be encouraged. We need that fellowship. That you be not soon shaken in mind. Because you can be shaken, but if you're around somebody else, they can stabilize you. They can help you. That you don't be shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. In verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, by social media, by TV. Don't let him deceive you. For that day shall not come except there come a great revival. Doesn't say that, does it? See, now, if you don't know your Bible, you'd say, oh, good, good. No, it says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all. Remember, Satan's I wills. I will be like the Most High God. I will. He wants to be everything God was, but he's going to do it through technology. He can't do it. Because he's not God, but he's going to use all of the things that this world has to offer. Let's see, where are we going? Okay. Jude tells of the danger. He tells in different verses here in Jude. Let's go back here again. I have Jude pretty marked up. He talks about the examples of the past falling away, the past apostasies, the church in the wilderness, that whole generation, they fell away. Then he talks about the angels who sinned. Think of that. You're up there with God, everything is wonderful, and you want more? The angels sinned, a third of them fell. That's why we're still having trouble today in the earth. Cain, Balaam, and Korah all fell away, or he gives examples of it, the dangers, examples of past falling away. So how do we live? Let's look in verse 17. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. This is the other thing. We've got to keep ourselves in the love of God, because our flesh wants to be offended with people that don't agree with us. And we're all facing something. We're all dealing with something that we have to contend for the faith, and somebody doesn't agree with us. So what do? We still have to walk in love. That means your flesh just doesn't get a flesh day that day. And you don't always say what you want to say. So keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. And then others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And underline that, garment spotted by the flesh. We're going to get into that. Now, unto him that is able to keep you. In the midst of all these storms, midst of all these trials and all these things that are going on in the world, God said he's going to keep us. He's going to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Isn't that exciting? So remember, what does it mean to remember? Keep in your memory. When you read something in the news, when you see something going on, remember, he said there's going to be mockers. The fact that he said it, and you can put yourself in remembrance, it gives you comfort. He knew this was going to happen. He's tried. He always prepared his disciples. He didn't go around giving sweet messages and tickling ears. He said, you want to leave too? You don't like what I'm preaching? John 6:6. You want to leave too? There will be mockers. Those that follow ungodly lusts. You're hearing now of this minister falling and this one and this one. And I get these reports. But I knew this was going to happen. And I've learned now through the years of looking to men not to look to men. Because these preachers, you thought, wow, you know, they really knew the Lord. But you're seeing now that they want to bring down Christianity. If you don't know that, you just have to study and realize what's going on. But you realize you can't put your faith in a man. You love them. If they taught you, thank the Lord. But if they're going to backslide now, sorry. You didn't save me. Where were they when you got born again? They did not save you. Jesus did. Keep yourself in remembrance of that. And it is sad and it's grieving when people choose to walk away and they chose to go into apostasy. But that's, you have to contend for the faith and you have to cling to the Lord. That shouldn't affect your salvation. It shouldn't affect your walk, right? Because he told us we shouldn't be saint watchers. And sometimes we all get distracted by people. We got to get our eyes back on Jesus. And that's a battle sometimes. So don't be surprised when you start seeing apostasy. We have been blessed in this country not to have had it. I mean, to the extent that it's coming, you know, with all these different things that have been signed in. Don't be surprised. Apostasy was predicted by all the apostles. Mm-hmm. We will be vexed and sad, but don't be surprised. You can't help it when you get vexed, and you can't help it when you get sad by something. You got to work through it. You can't just magically just, poof. It's called working out your salvation. You got to work it out. There's some things you got to work out. There's some people you're going to have to let go of. You want to help them, but they don't want help. I never drop the ball on people, but people drop the ball on you, right? If they don't want to walk with you anymore, what are you going to do? Jesus said, you want to leave too? Because he knew he had the truth. So don't be surprised. And remember, the apostles told us that it was going to come. There's going to be mockers. What are mockers? They're persecutors. They're belittlers. They're trash talkers. They're harassing, making fun. They're going to make fun of you for your faith. We have not learned how to be in battle. We haven't been equipped in boot camp how to stand against any kind of opposition. We have not been trained right. Many churches just gave you milk and not meat. We didn't even know we were battling anything. Just come and get blessed. We want your dream fulfilled. That's not true Christianity. True Christianity, there's some suffering sometimes. So the first one is remember. The second is remain. Remember and then remain. Stand firm in the Bible. It will strengthen you to stand in difficult days. When's the last time you just read a chapter? Read and let it strengthen you. Let God speak to you through the Bible, through by the Holy Spirit. Let it strengthen you. You get strengthened in your spirit just by reading. And then I said this already, but remain in the love of God. Remain. Because there's going to be so many that shall be offended. We don't have to be offended. Oh, we're going to be tempted to be offended. Has anybody been tempted? The temptations are all around us, but we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Remain in the love of God. How do you do that? By obeying Him. My flesh isn't going to get its way. I'm going to walk in love. I choose Jesus instead of telling that person off. You know what? When you tell people off, it doesn't really help. They've already decided they're not going to listen to you anyway. Save your breath. The third one is reach out. So remember, remain, reach out to those around you who are victims of false teaching. People are going to wake up to the fact that they know they've been lied to. It's already happening. Some people are ahead of the curve, and they were trying to expose. I was trying to expose this when I started seeing it. Now a lot of people are preaching on deception and this and that. Some of the deceivers are preaching on it. Some of the false preachers are preaching on it. So how are you going to know who's really in the faith and who isn't? Well, you have to reach out to the victims of false teachers who prey on the weak. Be compassionate with them and have mercy. Because the sins of the culture eventually become the sins of the church. If you don't have a good shepherd that beats out that culture, if they invite it in, we want it to all come in the last 15, 20 years. We've been inviting the culture in. We don't want anyone to feel convicted. That's what got people saved, was the preaching of the word. And then they wanted to repent. Well, if you take away the conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit, how are people going to get saved? So verse 23, on some have mercy, with others fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. Now one commentary I read after the garments polluted by the flesh, he said, literally refers to dirty undergarments. Just as we hate to handle somebody else's dirty underwear, the same thing, the sins have mercy, even hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. Oh yeah, that gave you a visual, didn't it? Oh, yeah. All the moms can say amen, because we wash them all. But that's what the flesh does. It's like it literally stains people. It changes people. I've seen people just in the last few months change. It's like, why are they changing? Because they're loving something else. Other things have become an idol. God's in my life, but this is more important. That's why you can't love father, mother, brother, sister, even your children. You can't put anything, your job, anything ahead of Him. When you start setting stuff up as idolatry, the things of God don't matter anymore. People start getting lukewarm. They start losing their walk with God. Oh, I'm fine. And then they start bringing all this stuff in. And you can see that they're getting polluted by the garments of the flesh. Yes. So we have to deal with other people's sins with caution. Don't condemn people. Aren't you glad no one threw you out and condemned you and you were missing it? So deal with a healthy fear. But you also have to know you don't want to be sucked in. So you have to walk in the fear of the Lord. Because if people are sinning, they want you to come too. Read Psalms 1. The ungodly want you to walk with them. And then the last one is rest. Remember, remain, reach out. Don't forget to rest. In the middle of the great falling away and all the storms that are happening in this letter, in the book of Jude, rest in your security in Christ. There's a rest that comes when you know it's not about your good works. It's not about how perfect you are. It's that you trust in Him. You're trusting and you're resting in Him. Many of us are facing things we didn't think we'd have to deal with as we retire. the uncertainty of the times, the financial system, it's scary in the flesh. It's just like, wow, you have to remember God's going to take care of us. You have a testimony. Has God taken care of you?
Yes.
He's going to continually take care of us. And this is what we have to rest in. Because the enemy wants you to fear, 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 fear. You turn on the television and it's fear porn. It is. It's gotten to the point of brainwashing fear porn. And you have to know when to shut it off and not listen. Rest in your security in Christ. And he has the power to keep us from falling. All the stuff, and I could say this, and I'm sure you have, all the stuff we've been through, we shouldn't even be here right now. All the stuff I've gone through in ministry, I shouldn't even be here right now, even preaching anymore. I should have been tortured and traumatized and never get up again. But God, we're still here. We're still here. So we have to rest in our testimony of what God has done in your life. We're still here. God's going to take care of us. It might not be the way we thought. Things might not end, but he's still there. And the most important thing is we serve him. We've had so much materialism thrown at us in the Laodicean and churches, all this stuff that faith is about your car, how big of a house you had. A lot of people are in debt right now trying to impress each other. We're all coming back to the simplicity. We don't need to impress anybody. Just don't go in debt for anyone. Get rid of what you don't need. That stuff should have been taught from day one when we were saved. Instead, we were taught to lust. See, when these two get together, I tell you. We may be confused. We might struggle with sin, even fall for some wrong things. But if you repent, he's right there. Have you ever all been perfect? Have you ever made mistakes, and are you doing things sometimes? Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? And I want to close with this. He will see us through to the end if we have a personal relationship with him through the faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Right? The Titanic sank in 1912. 1,517 died in this tragedy. The White Star Line office in Liverpool, England, put up a big board divided into two, one side and other side, known to be saved and known to be lost. After the shipwreck, two categories, the living and the dead. People would run to that board and see if their loved ones were alive or dead on that sign. In the end, the saved and the lost, it's really what it's going to come to. The saved and the lost. Eternity. Where are you going to go? Those who turn from self to Jesus Christ for salvation, not about our works, but about his, and those that don't. 1 John 5:12, he who has a son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Make sure you know your final destination. If you don't know Jesus, make sure you invite him in. Make sure you make him Lord of your life. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Eternal life, forgiveness, an entrance into God's family. Simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You got to contend for that. Contend for that faith. Remember, rest. All these other things I've talked about. Rest in your security in Christ, that he's the one that paid the price for you. The one who died in your place on the cross and rose again from the dead. Contend for that faith. Amen? Father, we thank you. This is a day that so many things are going on. We like to preach all sides of what's going on, but also the encouraging side of what we need to do when we see all these things happen. Remember, rest, return, have mercy, walk in love. All these things, Father, we can't do without you. So we thank you, Father, that you are our joy. Even in the midst of trials, in the midst of the insecure world that we live in. It seems like the nuts are ruling the earth. You told us that this was going to happen, so we remember. You told us what was going to happen. You even told us the state of our churches, that many are going to love the ear-tickling messages, and that sound doctrine would be, wow, it would just be something people don't want to hear. But you have your people everywhere. You have your people, and Father, we thank you for waking and getting people to see what's really going on in these churches, and that you'd help them find a fellowship that they can agree with and that they can stand in this day and not be deceived by false teachers and the mixture that Jude said was coming, was there and is also coming on the earth in these end times. So to you alone, we give all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said?
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing. So we depend.